The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor van Vuren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
Before we jump into today's message, have you been enjoying these podcast episodes from The Daily Witness? Would you like more? Consider subscribing to The Daily Witness on YouTube for video content and for our Wednesday evening live streams, which takes place at 6:30. We also stream for the Telegram app at the same time. For word, quotes, ministry updates and more, follow us on social media. The Daily Witness is on X, Instagram, and Threads. Faith is what connects us to the Father. So remember, faith comes by hearing. So keep on hearing.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "Let him that receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Trevor van Vuren Ministries now has Yoko as a payment portal for safe and secure transactions, both for national and international givers. So if you'd like to tithe into this ministry, or you'd like to sow a financial seed, head on over to our website www.thedailywitness.co.za and click on the Giving tab. All contributions that are received goes into furthering the gospel by reaching the lost and training people to live by faith.
Okay. Guys, welcome. All right. Who can tell me what the foundational scripture is for this series? Come on, somebody. Somebody's been paying attention. Francois? That's right. John chapter 17 and verse 3. Let's go there. John chapter 17 and verse 3. And it's good to have your eyes on the scripture. You know, it's just the way God set it up. It's listed in the book of Proverbs chapter 4. He says that you've got to keep the word before your eyes, and you've got to keep the word inclined unto your ear. So how do you do that? Do you take the word and do... Oh, there's notes. Do you do this? No. You've got to read it out loud. It's a principle. That is how the word gets on the inside of you. I don't care how well you know that scripture. I've got scriptures that I absolutely love and I know them so well, but I obey the command listed in Proverbs chapter 4. And so I keep this word in front of my eyes and I keep it inside of my ears, and you know what happens next? It goes down into your heart. That's where you want it to be. You don't have to tell the word where to go. It knows where to go. It goes straight down in your heart, and guess what? According to your faith, it will produce 30, 60, 100 fold. And because it is supernatural seed, because it's incorruptible seed, it will grow up every single time. You don't even have to beg God and say, "Lord, please make the word grow." You don't have to do that at all. It does it all by itself. So this is why we keep going over John chapter 17 and verse 3. And we do this because faith comes by hearing. You keep hearing this enough, it gets down on the inside of you, and then the light bulb goes off. See? And it's the Holy Ghost that makes the light bulb go off. And you get to see a little bit deeper into it. So let's read John chapter 17 and verse 3. And it says, "This is life eternal." Now, I know we've explained this so many times, but for the sake of visitors or newcomers or those who have never heard this before, I'm going to go ahead and explain it. Eternal life does not mean I got born again and I get to go and live forever with Jesus. Okay? Because every single person, whether you are a saint or a sinner, When you exit and you leave this earth here and you leave your body, you continue living on the other side. If that were not the truth, then why is there a place called hell? Because someone is living on the other side. They're burning for all eternity. Now that might sound like a harsh reality, but it's the truth. So that can't be the definition of eternal life. Because, so what? Do they also have eternal life? They don't get to live with Jesus, you see? So they're burning on the other side. So they're also living. So that can't be the definition of eternal life. So we've got to break this mold of religion and stick to the truth. What did the head of the church tell us? Jesus Christ, captain of our salvation, the Alpha and the Omega. In the Hebrew, the Aleph and the Tov. He says this, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And as you know, we've said this many times, the word to know him, to know thee, to know God, to know Jesus Christ, we've mentioned that word to know, it comes from the Greek word gnosko, and it talks about knowing him by personal experience. Okay, so, checking out the time there. And I want us to flip over to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic. And I want you just to make a note there, Ephesians chapter 3. And before we go there, and I'll read about that when it's time, but I want to talk about getting to know him. I want to talk about getting to know God intimately. You know, if you lived under the old covenant, if you were an Israelite, you are well aware that they had the tabernacle of the congregation. That was something that Moses got instruction from heaven. There was a pattern that he got from God. And they made this place called the tabernacle of the congregation, which was made up, it was a tent. Okay? It was a mobile tent. And inside there was a place that was very, very holy. It was consecrated, and not just anyone could go in there. Because there was no sacrifice for your sins yet. Under the old covenant, you could not get to know God intimately. You could not get to know God gnosko. Okay? You could not get to know God by experience, because of the sin nature. So that is why God had the high priest, and he also had sacrifices, and you had to come and bring your sacrifice and so forth. And that sacrifice, of course, just covered your sins for a year. But, I mean, I just think to myself, you know, in my mind, I picture that tabernacle of the congregation sitting there in the middle of the whole nation of Israel. And sometimes I can hear the strong winds coming through, and you can hear that tent just flapping, you know? And you're staring at that tent because you know on the inside of that tent is the Holy Spirit. You know, if you were Jewish, you would not use the term Holy Spirit, because that's an English term. You would say Ruach HaKodesh. And inside there were these two cherubims, and obviously protecting the Ark of the Covenant, which had the Word of God on the inside. And just hovering above the mercy seat was the Shekinah glory of God. That was the same Spirit that was leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and obviously a pillar of fire by night. But as much as God loved us, and as much as he wanted to have this intimate relationship with us, he could not do it because of the sin nature. So he was stuck behind curtains. Can you imagine how frustrating that must have been for him? Because he's love. And we'll get into that now. And so Fast forwarding, you know, we're going over now into the new covenant, and here comes Jesus. And you know the story when he went to the cross. What happened to the veil? What veil? It was the veil that kept the Shekinah glory behind the veil. That veil tore, and it came to an end, that old covenant. And now Jesus is saying, you can actually know God. You can actually know him intimately. So let's just go quickly to 1 John chapter 4. I know we said that we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3, but let's go to 1 John chapter 4 quickly. And I want to read chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 7 and 8, and then we're going to go through to verse 16. And he says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." And he says, "And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." There's that word again. You can actually know God. But you're not going to know God when you're irritated. You're not going to know God when you're angry. You're not going to know God when you're full of fear. You're not going to know God when you're judgmental. You're just not going to know him when you've got unforgiveness in your heart. You're not going to know him. The Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, is so gentle. He's a gentleman. And the book of Ephesians actually says this. You can quench the Spirit of God. So this is why it's so important to actually know him. He says, everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And then I just put in brackets next to that, I said, as love. Because what does the next verse say? It says, he that loves not knows not God. For God is love. Now let's skip down and we can actually look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. You could not enter the Holy of Holies under the Old Covenant. That is so big. You had to follow a set of rules. That was your whole life. And now he's saying, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And then the very next verse, we have known, there it is again, gnosko, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. You can know the love of God. You can actually know it. Know it how? By experience. You can actually know the love of God by experience. You're no longer that little Israelite standing on the outside and just watching that tabernacle, because under the old covenant, you've got to understand, it was only the priest and only the prophet and only the king that was anointed by God. Why do you think if someone needed direction, they had to go and look for a prophet in the land to get an answer? Why do you think David had to pray and he had an ephah and he would ask the Lord, should I go up, should I not go up? The Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, did not dwell on the inside of him. Can you imagine how big that is by today's standards? He says here, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. You can know intimately the love that God has for you. You can know it by experience. God is love. And I've said this before, God is not his name. We've got a whole lot of religions out there, and they've all got gods. Our God, you should actually take the time by reading your Bible. You get to find out our God, I don't actually like to use the term God, but our God has his own name. His name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. You know what that is in English? That's how Moses introduced himself. Our God introduced himself to Moses, because Moses said, okay, I must go to Pharaoh for you, and who shall I say sent me? And in the Hebrew, because they talk Hebrew to each other. So he said, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit of English, little Hebrew, and he said, tell him Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh sent him. What is that? That means I am. I am, this is the Hebrew definition, I am that I am. One translation in the Hebrew says, I am whatever you need me to be. That's how big our God is. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So, he says, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. This person that we are reading about in verse 16 is a person who knows that God loves him. This is a person that has come to a place where he's meditating on the reality that he's loved. Now, watch this. He says, God is love. Love is God. He that dwells in love. He just says the same thing again, dwells in God. He's just saying the same thing again. And God in him. Or you can say it like this, and love in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Man, this is the best news you've ever heard in your life. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, don't get caught up on that word perfect. It's just an Elizabethan word, and it just simply means this: growing love, developing love, maturing love. The love of God. When you start focusing on the love of God starts growing up on the inside of you. Like I said, when I started this message, I said, the word is incorruptible seed. So the more time you spend in this incorruptible seed, it will grow up. So if you are sowing the seeds of healing, you're going to receive healing. You don't need to beg God to make that happen. But if you're focusing on the love of God, if you are meditating on how much God loves you already. He's already loving you right now. But you got to chase after this. Remember what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, you got to go and dig after this. It's not enough for me to tell you that God loves you. It's not enough. You've got to go and hunt after this. You've got to go and seek out the scriptures that tells you that God loves you. Now let's read further. What's the benefit from that? He says, herein is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You see what's happening here? The love of God is busy growing up on the inside of you. It's busy developing, it's busy maturing, it's busy getting bigger. Or you can say it like this. The reality is starting to set in. Because you're spending time in it. And Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a lady had to go and take 3 measures of meal and go and hide it. And he said, it multiplies. It grows. So you're spending time in the love of God, you're focusing on how much God loves you, and you're thinking about it, and you're meditating on it, and it's busy growing, and you don't even know it's growing. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4. He says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. Not might grow up, it will grow up. But notice the pattern. He's sleeping and he's rising and he's sleeping and he's rising night and day. He doesn't know how this is happening, but it's happening. So it's busy growing up, and the love of God is getting stronger, and the love of God is getting stronger, and the love of God is getting stronger. And you know what's happening? It's busy maturing. And you know what's the benefits from that? Let's go and look. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That you're not timid in the day of judgment. You are bold in the day of judgment. I mean, it just gets better and better as we read further. Because now this thing is growing up. Watch this. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, who is he? Jesus. Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. When it says that you might have boldness in the day of judgment, it's not talking about the great white throne judgment. It's not referring to that. How do I know that? Well, he says, yeah, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Fear is under the curse. Fear, the offspring of fear, is torment. Think about the situation that you're facing. Think about the fear that's present, and think about the torment that follows. It's a curse. I've got good news for you. The love of God growing up on the inside of you starts flushing out the fear. Watch this. There's no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, growing love, you're meditating on this love. It's getting bigger and bigger. The Ruach HaKodesh is making this real to you. God, what, man, I'll tell you what. God loves people unconditionally, and they're not experiencing it. It's just a word because of what they see out there in the world. You know, there's a lot of friendships and there's a lot of relationships that go south. And it started off as a wonderful fairy tale once upon a time. I love you and you love me. And then all of a sudden it just tanked. So the word love doesn't have that power like it does with God. But this, yeah, is a different kind of love. It's a spiritual love. It carries weight. It carries power. It carries so much power that day by day you become bolder and bolder and bolder. Why? How are you becoming more bold? The answer is very simple. There's no fear in love. The love of God is flushing out the fear. Every single day, the love of God is flushing out the fear. And you thinking about the love of God, and you're driving to work, or you're on your way to the shops, or whatever the case may be, and you're thinking about how much God loves you. And you're just talking about it to yourself, and you're thinking about the scriptures, and this is becoming alive on the inside of you. And you start on a Monday, but I tell you what, by Friday, you don't need to drive to work anymore. You might as well just fly there. Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's so real to you. You're floating, man. You walk in there. I mean, I walked into my old boss's office one day, and I just grabbed him, and I hugged him. I said, man, the love of God. And he just melted, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to stay. He said, oh, come on, man. And he felt shy. Why? I was bold. He wasn't. The love of God made me bold. It was flushing out the fear. These things, I mean, if you're not experiencing the love of God, you're not living life. Because, you know, you can ask people, pray for me. Pray for me for the fear to go away. That's not in this book. It's not an option. I cannot pray for you for the fear to leave you. It's unscriptural. It's the love of God that flushes out the fear. It's the love of God that gets rid of the fear. He says there's no fear in love, but perfect love, growing love, is what casts out the fear. Notice it doesn't say the confession of your faith casts out fear. Notice it doesn't say the prayer of faith casts out fear. It says perfected love, growing love, that's what casts out the fear. That's what gets rid of the fear. Because fear has torment. God does not want that stuff on the inside of you. It hinders your faith. Watch this. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic. And I'm actually going to read from verse 16. Now listen carefully to this. We're talking about love. Remember, when I'm talking about the love of God, I'm talking about dimensions. I'm talking about depth. I'm actually talking about power. I'm not talking about just some random word and, you know, I want to come and try and convince you and tell you, oh, God loves you, God loves you. I mean, there's just way more to that. You want your circumstances to change? How does faith work? By love. You've got to be convinced that God loves you. You know what faith is? Faith is, here's a, just a simple definition. It's confidence in God. People have got so many different definitions of what faith is. Man, just make it simple. It's just confidence in God. That's it. I'm confident. Watch this. But you can't be confident in someone that you don't know. And if you don't know that he loves you, tell me how that going to work out with your prayer. You're not confident. You don't know how much he loves you, but you want to pray. Really? Are you serious? Faith works. Galatians 5:6. Faith works. Faith works. I'm emphasizing on that. Faith works every time. You got a lot of people that say, well, I prayed this and, well, you know, I guess it just wasn't God's will. Or I must have done something wrong. Or it's this, they're making up excuse after excuse after excuse. When Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed that your faith fail not. So evidently, faith can fail. But 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love never fails. And if you want your faith to work every single time, you got to know that God loves you. You got to be convinced. You got to be so convinced, like the Apostle John. From the Gospel of John, go and read his accounts. I think in two or three different places, he refers to himself not as John, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loves. In fact, they're sitting there at the Passover meal, okay? And Jesus is like this. I mean, after this saying, you going like this. He says, there's someone over here that's going to betray me. Peter. I like Peter. I can't wait to meet him. Peter's like this. John, ask him who it is. Why would he do that? He's got no confidence that Jesus is going to answer him. And the scripture says John asked him. Why? 1 John chapter 5, man. Look at this. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Do you see or do you hear any doubt in that verse? I hear confidence in that verse. But if you talk to believers today, They can give you a string of reasons why their prayer wasn't answered. This is just very simple, guys. Why do we have to complicate things? He says, this is the confidence. This is the confidence. It's very simple. But if you don't know that God loves you, you're going to be like Peter. And you're going to come to me and you're going to say, Trevor, can you please ask Jesus? We should all be like John. We should be thinking like him all the time. We should have that mindset all the time. God loves me. Ephesians chapter 3, and like I said, I'll start in verse 16. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, okay, stop. When you see, he's not talking about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. It's a title. It simply means anointed. What does the anointing do? Isaiah chapter 10 tells us that. It says that the anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. What burden? What yoke? Where did this come from? It came from the enemy, the devil. That's why Jesus, you'll see in some translations, the Christ, the anointed. Okay? So here, he's not referring to Jesus, he's referring to the anointing. Who are we? The body of who? Say it. Not a trick question. We are the body of, translated, the anointing. We are anointed. We are his body. We are his hands. We are his feet. So, when he says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit, himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, may the anointing. Pay careful attention to the words that follow. May the anointing through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That is the will of God. That you are founded deep on in love and securely in love. What love? The love of God. What love of God? The love that God has for you. You're supposed to be rooted in that. That, watch what follows. Watch what follows when you are rooted in love. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. We're back to John chapter 17, verse 3. Gnosko. Get to know God intimately. Through experience, God wants you to experience him. God's devoted people, the experience of that love, the gnosko of that love. You've got your own story. Watch this. What is the breadth of his love for you? What is the length of his love for you? What is the height of his love for you? And what is the depth of his love for you? That you may really come to know, watch this, this is actually in the Amplified, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves. There it is again. God wants you to experience His love. It's not just a bunch of words. He wants you to have your own Holy of Holies experience. Something that the Jews could never ever do. Never in their wildest dreams. But yeah, it's just lavished on us. That you, through the experience for yourselves, the love of Christ. What? The love of that anointing. The anointing made available to you. The anointing to remove the burden in your life and destroy the yoke. That's the love of God. Remember when Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, went throughout Galilee healing people, casting out devils and all of that? Those were burdens and yokes. He had an anointing on Him for them to remove the burden and to destroy the yoke, and they walked free. That's the love of God. He healed them because He loved them. He cast out demons because He loved them. The anointing was there for them, like it is for you. And not only for you, you are a carrier of that anointing now. Let's read further. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God. Watch what happens when it dawns on you that God loves you. You're spending time, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're watching this series over and over. This is why we record this. So that you can go back and that you can watch it for yourself. Why? Because faith comes. And the more you watch it, it starts dawning on you. You don't have to worry. The Holy Ghost will quicken things to you. And you go and listen to the series and you go and watch it again. You go and watch it again and you follow through the scriptures and you talk to God about it and you're growing in that love and you're growing in that love and you're growing in that love. Watch what happens. Check this. Unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body filled and flooded with God Himself. What do you think is going to happen to the devils that are attacking you? What do you think is going to happen to the sickness and to the disease? What do you think is going to happen to the anxiety? What do you think is going to happen to whatever situation the devil is using to actually plague you and bog you down and try and keep you in some form of bondage? Satan is desperate for power. Absolutely desperate. But what happens when the love of God dawns on you? And you become flooded and filled with God Himself. That problem is as good as gone. Let me testify. I want to share something with you. And then I'll close on that. Years ago, I was actually studying this very topic. I love the topic of the love of God. Because the love of God has got dimensions. It's not just a word, it's a reality. And there are times where you can actually experience, when you're spending time in the love of God, it manifests, God manifests. So I went to sleep and I had a dream. And I didn't understand this dream. In the dream, there were two walls, okay? And there were these little prison bars and a small little window. And I looked. I was behind the two walls, you know. I thought it was kind of weird. Where's the door and all of that? And I looked out the window and I saw this. I found out later it's a demon, a big boy. He had a long black trench coat on him and he had a black top hat. And he just came walking there like a gangster. The fear that was emanating from him. Whew. And I did this. I kind of hid and I went. And then the scene changed. And then I saw was the same demon. Man, he was a thin little, like a twig. And, you know, I felt like He-Man because I had him pinned down, you know. And I looked at him. get my best side. And he looked up at me, but take note, his eyeballs were huge, like I thought they were going to pop out of his head. I have never seen terror like that in my entire life. That thing was so, so scared. And his body was full of bruises. And I had him pinned down on his stomach and his hands behind his back. And I just held him like that. And then I woke up and I thought, what kind of dream is that, man? Well, the day went on and everything was normal. And I had a buddy that came over, came to visit me. And when he came over, we were chatting, and just like that, Proverbs chapter 3, I think it's verse 25, talks about sudden fear. We've got a name for it today. It's called anxiety. Just sprung out of nowhere. Sudden fear. Afraid of what? I don't know. There was no reason for me to be afraid of anything. I found out later it was the devil coming for the word. He was trying to persecute me. You know what was the very first thing I did? I ran to the love of God. Straight away. I already knew it. I went, my favorite scriptures, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, 17, 18, 19. I read it, and I read it out loud, and I read it out loud, and I read it out loud, and I read it out loud. But guess what? This was not the first time I was reading it. I had already been putting that word on the inside of my heart. I've been working on it for weeks and weeks, and I was watching teachings, and I was going through the scriptures, so I was ready. The devil wasn't. And I just went through these scriptures, and I read it out loud, and I read it out loud, and I read it out loud, and just like that, I've got access to the Holy Spirit now. And he said, okay, stop. And he said, now pray in tongues. So I did. I just followed him, and I started praying in tongues. And I prayed in tongues, and I prayed in tongues, and the lion of the tribe of Judah came a-roaring out of this temple. And man, I went after that devil. And I can't even imitate it. It's, how do you imitate the authority of God? The love of God just flushed that fear out. It was gone. And I just went off and I said, devil, I'm coming for you, you know. And I said, you can hide under any rock, I'll find you. And I said, don't you dare run away now, I'm giving you the spanking of your life. And I just went on and on and on. Now, the people that were with me, the two men of God that were with me, they actually got frightened. The power of God was so strong. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. Not being afraid of God, but that reverential respect. You go, you stand like this when God manifests, you do this. You don't have a choice. And that devil was gone. That's the benefits of the love of God. I put it in me in abundance, and it came out in power. Okay. And that's all we have for tonight. We're going to end this meeting off now. And like we always say, remember, faith comes by hearing.
So keep on hearing.
Hey everyone, if you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.